when he's addressing God's people, and it's, I wanted to address that scripture he's given for a reading scripture as I do it. Ezekiel, the 12th chapter, the word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. They are a rebellious house. And in the book of Romans, the 16th chapter and the 17th verse, Paul was talking there. He says, Now I beseech you, brethren, mark those which cause divisions contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. These people knew of the doctrine of Christ. They knew of the instructions which the Apostle Paul, which the rest of the apostles had taught. But they're like the people of God in Ezekiel's day. And that the reason I say the people of God in Ezekiel's day is that they were in the church just like these people were in the church that Paul was talking about, knew of the teachings of the apostles, but they was rebellious against that teaching. They wanted things their own way, and they taught contrary doctrine. They were like their father Adam. But man has been rebellious in Adam ever since the beginning of time. And we was talking about being of the mind of Christ, and that Christ had sealed some with the Spirit of God, that he was trying to change and attempting to change their character, their mind, or their way of thinking. Because there be those in the church that right in amongst us, in the midst of us, that teaches or live contrary to what God say do. That's a spirit of rebellion, a spirit of rebellion. We talk about rebels and rebellion, and I think I did one teaching on being rebellious, and I was telling you about rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and that's what they told Saul. Because a rebel, rebellious, and rebelling means opposing or taking up arms against a government or a ruler. The people opposed God in his kingship, and God told Samuel they hadn't rejected Samuel, but they had rejected God because they were going against God's government, his rulership over them, and they wanted their own king, which our father Adam did. He rejected God. So rebellion is also its meaning being disobedient, Those that goes along with that disobedience, as we see in the church, that's prevalent today and that was prevalent in Ezekiel's day. It was also those who participate with rebels or participate in a rebellion. Any of those, and we see that people doing it today, that so-called church members or whatever, they are rebelling against authority and to oppose or disobey one in authority or control. They try to take over the church, try to take over the homes. You know, children rebel. It's a place in there they say, well, these are rebellious children, a rebellious nation, covenant breakers. They want their own way. They go against established authority, the authority that God had established in the home. You know, that's a government, a structure in the home, that you have a father, a mother figure in the home, and to rebel against that authority. A lot of children, when they come of a certain mind of age, they rebel against the things that what you see at the authority of that home or whatever. So it's to renounce or resist by the force of the authority of one's government, or to act or show opposition of disobedience to. So all those are forms or shapes of rebellion. And as we can see, mankind has been in rebellion against God and his word since the start of time, wanting to do it a different way or whatever. Whereas God had chosen some from the foundations of the world, he predestinated, just like during the time of Ezekiel. He sealed some with a heart or gave them a mind to serve him, Just like with the Holy Spirit now, he gives us a leading, a prompting of the Spirit to follow Jesus Christ. We're under the liberty of Jesus Christ, wherein through his grace we help establish the law of God through faith. So we are not disobedient to the laws of God, even though we are not under the law of God. Now, understand that. People rebel against the authority, they rebel against the law of God's law, and they speak evil of God's law. And Paul said the law was holy, the law was just, and the law was right. It's just that we didn't have the ability that through the flesh it was weak to serve the law. And hence, man in this day and time talk against God's law and say God had abolished the law on the cross. Whereas he did not abolish the law on the cross. He abolished the handwriting of ordinances that was against Israel at that time. Because when we say the handwriting of ordinances, that was a different body of law that Moses had wrote. Moses had wrote for the people and gave them a law of sacrifices. All these things were shadows and types of what was to come in Jesus Christ. It was shadows and types. So that's why after the cross, all these, the handwriting of ordinances that was against the people of God were eliminated at the cross, and he had the same week, the same way for each and every person to make it. There were no Jew or Gentile because those ordinances was done away with. But his law was not done away with. God gave the law. You'll see where it says two different laws in the Bible. One is the law of Moses, and one is the law of God. The handwriting of ordinances, which you see in Leviticus and how you offer up a sacrifice, how the different things that you do, these are ordinances, or ceremonial laws, which only came into being because of man's transgressions against God. So we see that man developed an innate ability, in other words, inclination to go away from God, to rebel against God, to do that which is forbidden against God, to rebel against God because he no longer had the mind of God. When he partaken of the forbidden fruit, he knew good and evil, which was he developed the mind of his father, Satan. So that's why we had to be brought back, and that's why it's an attempt to renew us or reconcile us to God by the transforming or renewing of our mind from that rebellious state. That nature remains in us. That's the nature that we're trying to crucify. That's the nature that we work against, in that the inner man, if the Spirit of Christ is in you, if he planted his Spirit, given you of his Holy Ghost, that Spirit that we're trying to foster, to grow in us, comes from Jesus Christ. If you look at Ephesians 4:17, it says, "So this I say solemnly and testify in the name of the Lord as in his presence, that you must no longer live as the heathen, the Gentiles, do in their perverseness and the folly and vanity and emptiness of their souls and futilities of their minds." We can't no longer live as the world lives, because we see that the whole world is in rebellion against God, and they walk contrary to the laws of God, which puts them under the law of God, because that's what the law is for. It's for sinners and transgressors and lawbreakers. But we don't break God's laws. We walk circumspectively. God gives us through his Spirit a mind to serve him, and that mind to serve him does not break his laws, like Jesus Christ didn't break his laws. We don't have that rebellion, or we don't participate in that rebellion, because we know that the house of Israel, the house of Judah, was a rebellious house, a rebellious people, and it continued to rebel even when Jesus Christ was here. It goes on to say, their moral understanding is darkened and their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated, estranged, self-banished. Adam banished himself away from God by disobeying God. Disobedience, the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience by unbelief in God's law, rejecting his government, revolting from him, despising his word, despising his counsels, distrusting his power, murmuring against him, refusing to listen to him. All those things are signs of rebellion. All those things alienate us from God. Those are things that we're doing. That's why he's trying to change your mind or renew your mind. He's trying to wipe away what we used to do. We have to see that old man. We have to have a consciousness of that old man, that he's consistently there with us. We have to choose to do the good because that old man is still there. And we can do that which is wrong, which is evil. But it's the fleshly or the carnal man that causes us to do those things. So that rebellion is there. We have to crucify, put that man away, mortify the deeds of the body. It says they are alienated from the life of God with no share in it. This is because of the ignorance, the lack of knowledge and perception, the willful blindness that is deep-seated in them due to their hardness of heart. Their way of life is not acknowledging that they're wrong or that they're miserable or that. They're in the dark that they need God. They try to establish their own ways. They not admitted that something's wrong here. I'm not living the way I want to live, or the way I hope and desire. That's because they had been converted. They love darkness rather than light. That's why when Paul says, have nothing, he says, mark those which cause division, because there are those that are in church that can walk contrary to God's law, and misery loves company, and they will try to get you to see that it's all right to do those things. So we have to be changed in our mind. We have to be of a different mind. In their spiritual appetite, they have become callous and past feelings and reckless, and have abandoned themselves to unbridled sensuality, eager and greedy to indulge in every form of impurity that their depraved desires may suggest and demand. But you did not so learn Christ. The doctrines of teaching that the apostle gave them didn't show them to gratify sensuous lusts. It didn't tell them to walk as the world. It was a different teaching. That's why those that are still walking under those teachings, that's why they say that those that say, well, ain't nothing wrong with that. They're taking the word of God lightly because God says, don't be carried away with the heathen. It would be a much stronger man to say, well, look, that would be able to give his children candy and different things to come up, and sit his child down and explain to him about Halloween coming up. That is something that they shouldn't be involved in. The church is in no competition against. We shouldn't dress you up like little goblins and all these things, or something different from you are. And Halloween is getting to be, to show you how the depths of it, it's getting to be a very dangerous holiday. They have to go out and x-ray all these candies and things that the little children bring it home or whatever. To go through all this, it's much cheaper just to buy your children candy when they need the candy, you know, when you desire for them to have desserts or whatever. But that's what happened when you get involved in pagan rituals. But he says those who also participate in rebellion. Well, we know that's a rebellion against God. That's, you know, it's not just because of the satanic implications behind Halloween, but that we know that that's against the structure of what God's word says. So for us to participate in that, we're perpetuating that sin. We're perpetuating that holiday. we should mark those that walk that way or do those things, because we're trying to establish the ways of God. And that's how, like I say, the whole house or the whole family had rebelled during that time, and that's why God was destroying the whole nation, because they were given into carnal and sensual desires. Assuming that you have really heard him and been taught by him, as all truth is in Jesus and embodied and personified in him, strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self. You need to lay those things aside. All those are weights and sins that's besetting you from running this race. If you would draw nigh to God, he would draw nigh to you, and he would establish you. That's the reason a lot of us can't see or realize that the kingdom is among us, in that we could be living a life that God has presented that life for us to live right here. That you can enjoy Christ right here. That he's ever willing to make himself known to those that would have fellowship with him. But there are a lot of them in the church that are doing church-like things, but he had no fellowship with them. And in that day, he said he have never known them, because they had participated in the doctrine of Christ. They knew what the doctrine said, but they rejected it for their own sakes, for their own religions. Said, let me finish that where we're on. It says, strip yourselves of your former unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life, and becomes corrupt through lust and desires that spring from delusion. That's what's corrupting you. That's why you never gain the strength, because you acquiesce to the little small thing and says nothing to that. It's like I was telling my wife, I says, well, the reason I'm not making much progress on this diet is that I inject sweets at some time. I inject and eat things that I shouldn't eat. What it does is disrupt the process that's going on in this diet, that I shouldn't have any of that stuff during that time, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It short circuits the process, and I have to start the process all over again. So that the sin that you allow in your life keeps you an infant in Christ and not able to receive spiritual meat. It keeps you in that rebellious state that never grows, that never grows in God. And that's through the corrupt, the lust of the flesh, making provision from the flesh. You're still fearful of people. You still can't stand eye to eye to people and state things correctly, or state things truthfully, or stand as a man or a woman. And that's bad, because a lot of us don't realize we're getting older. A lot of us, it won't be here in the next 20 or 30 years, 10 years, 15 years. And we hadn't grown in Christ to where if we pass away, how are we going to resurrect? Are we going to resurrect as a mature Christian in Christ? Or are we going to resurrect that we never experienced life the way God wanted us to experience, because we never fulfilled his purpose? We didn't have enough faith or trust in God. We trusted in self, and we're consistently rebelling against him. So there was no progress in our lives. We didn't see God working in our lives. It was always so tough and so hard. He says, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. And put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, in God's likeness. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then also we will appear with him. We will be like he is, because that's what he is. That's what he are. But instead, we follow those that were in Jeremiah's time. In Jeremiah's time, the 6th chapter, the 27th verse through 30 verse, it says, I, says to the Lord, have set you, Jeremiah, as a sayer, a prover of ore among my people, that you may know and try their doings and be like a watchtower. Just like he did with Ezekiel, he'll do with us. We could be able to sit in the church, and he'll show us through the circumstances and the situation the people around us are going through, we'll see their spirituality. we'll see that they're the ones that we should consecrate ourselves away from around. That we're trying to help them, but some of those, what they're doing in their life, caused this division, and we've warned them, and we've followed church procedure. We've talked to them about this personally. We've talked to them about it in front of other saints. We've brought these issues before the church. But it comes a point in time where you have to turn these people over to Satan. As Paul said, they had delivered them up to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. It's a lot of people that's going to have to go through these breaking points in their lives, and the church can't keep holding on to them. It's like keep bailing a child out of jail or bailing him out of a bad situation. He'll never learn. He has to be like the prodigal son. He has to make that fall because they have rebellion in them. In doing the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, we see where God had it to where both parents, and I say both parents, because the mother and the father would bring this rebellious son and say, well, look, this son of ours, he's rebellious, he's a drunkard, he's a glutton. In other words, he's doing things of the world, he won't listen at us, and they bring him to the elders of the church. The elders of the church are to lay hold of him, and they stone that child to death for his rebellion. Because why the elders of that village or that church? Because the elders would know the lifestyle of that child, but also of the parent. See, because we're in a day and age and thing where they should be stoning the parent because they're not a worthy parent. They hadn't lived the life. See, it's something else when you hadn't lived, or you lived the same way your child lived, and you turn around and try to tell that child the same thing or whatever. That may be out of your purview. That may be out of your jurisdiction. It may be up to you to live the life God had given you to live, and you take all those motes and beams out of your own eyes, and God scatters those children to where somebody else disciplines that child, to where that child sees God in someone else, and that person brings that child to God. That's why God scatters us sometimes. Because that's why I said we can't be hypocritical or whatever. And I started Bible study because when we started, when we was talking, to Bible study about something, and I got in and I said something in which I may have should have stayed out. Because sometimes if you interject and a person's not willing to hear what you're saying, all this could cause is confusion. And that's why a lot of time you try to talk to your children or whatever. If you've been running around on your wife, your child ain't going to want to hear it when you tell him something about how he should live or how she should live. They're not going to want to hear that from you. They don't even want to talk to you about that. And so what happens? Someone else, another man, or another woman, someone else has the discipline to talk to that child on that. That child may be going to another church or school or somewhere else, and he sees somebody with a godly life that he respects, and that person could say, well, I do this because I don't want, you know, I wouldn't want to jeopardize my family. That's a whole lot of responsibility, that if you're responsible, you have to do this and do that. But if I stand in here and I preach to you this and that, I'm doing these things. As I told him the day at the doctors, I said, well, I can't get tied up here. I've been up late for Bible study. How can I tell other people not to be late for prayer service or Bible study if I'm late in not making it on time? You see, that's why you have to, he says, take the beam out of your own eyes. So it's in us to rebel, and you have to realize that same rebellion is in your children. So sometimes you might pride, it may be pride or something else in you that may want you to see the accomplishment of you getting your children straight, or you getting your family getting it straight. And maybe that's not in the plan of God. You have to follow the plan of God where God's strengthening you at. And allow those other things to take care of those other things. Make sure you in the center of God's purpose. And he'll give you a son like Paul said Timothy was his son. See, he'll give you somebody else in the faith. That's why he told Peter, he said, you'll have many mothers and sisters and fathers and hundreds in this world and in this life. See, because we're all brethren and sister. There's no relatives that say in the earth-like life, in the spiritual realm, we are brethren and sister. So what we have to do is dump that fleshly mind because it's based in rebellion. It's based on when he came to Eve, he said, you'll be just like God, knowing the same thing God does. Well, that's what children want to do. That's the thing that a lot of children do, exactly what you tell them not to do. They get involved in some of the same things that you did, but maybe worse. That's the way rebellion does. I'm going to show them. And a lot of times they'll go do these things to spite you. That's the way of the flesh. That's the nature of the flesh. It's treasonable. What rebellion is, it's like treason. Somebody that's on your side and takes the things that you say or do and use them against you. Let's continue on that. The 28th verse says, they are all the worst kind of rebels and utter and total revolters against God, going about publishing slander. They are not gold and silver ore, but bronze and iron. They are all corruptors. In other words, these people go to church and everything, but these are the ones that sit down and listen at the preacher and come back and talk about the preacher or what went on in church or talk about the church members to other people outside the church. They'll go home and talk with their spouse or talk with somebody on the job about things going on in the church or let somebody belittle those to stand them down. Whereas a family is not necessarily so. If that's your God family, that means you could stand for that person just like you stand for your son or daughter. You can say, let's not talk about it. And that means you're going to start learning not to talk about anybody. You're going to start not slandering or not helping corrupt other people. You're going to develop a different mind, the mind of Christ. It's two different minds. You have to be of that other mind. The instruction where we were saying last week, speak evil of no man. See, but these things are in the church. He said, that's why he was telling Jeremiah, they're rooted in the church, Jeremiah. These people are in the church. Jude said, I preached to you about, I started to write this, but I told you to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. The bellows blow fiercely, verse 29. The lead is consumed by the fire. In vain they do continual refining, for the wicked are not removed. Men will call them reprobate and rejected silver because the Lord has rejected them. God had rejected these people. Those were the ones he told Jeremiah not to pray for. Not to pray for these people because these people keep learning. And Deacon was praying when we started off and it caught me. I was trying to figure out what he was saying about the world is in it or by our understanding and things. See, but a lot of our understanding has not been opened. God is not opening that understanding. Because there's a hindrance to him opening up that understanding. And that hindrance is us. That hindrance is that we are rebellious people. A rebellious house. And that's what he says. We do have eyes to see. Read that verse. Let's read that verse again when I read the 12th chapter, Ezekiel 12, the first verse. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house. In other words, this Israel, these people supposedly are God's people, which have eyes to see. They're in places where they should see these things. They have ears to hear and hear not. Why? Because God had closed their eyes and their ears lest they be converted because their heart's not right. They have tasted of the life to come. In other words, they know what the doctrine is saying, but as Paul say, they do otherwise. The book of Romans, now beseech you, brother, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to sound doctrine. See, he's saying, mark these people out. You point them out to one another. Put a mark because they're in the church. They know what the church is teaching, but they're teaching or doing contrary, or living contrary to what's being taught of sound doctrine. Avoid these people. Because their understanding, what all it would do if you would fellowship with that evil company or evil association corrupts good manners. It tells us in Psalms, sit not in the seat of scorner or walk in his way. Because what happens, that person sooner or later gets you in the way of their thinking. Psalms 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standing in the way of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. It is in God's word. It's in God's law. In God's law, those Ten Commandments. But there are people that are critical of the Sabbath, and yet still, we let those people criticize what we actually believe in. See, that's why I say we're in a mind of time now. The United States don't know how to deal with these Islamic nations. Because what's happening is, a world point of view had went into a religious point of view. And a lot of the senators had said that we then intervened into something that's been going on for thousands of years. Because they used the word infidel. They used the word Satan. In other words, adversaries. And see, we're fighting a material thing, whereas these people are blind spiritually. Ben Affleck, that's his name? Ben Affleck? He got into it with Bill Maher over the thing of Islam and whatever we're talking. See, because what we're doing as Christianity, we're trying to stereotype or group all these people together. Whereas the people that are expressing these views of Islam that are radicals, God allowed Babylon to do the same thing. Show you a radical point of view. Yes, he will destroy these people, but these people are sent in to chasten you. These people are sent in to destroy some of your children. There's a lot of Americans joining these other groups. He said he was going to send in a cruel nation. Habakkuk couldn't understand it. Y'all read Habakkuk and studied Habakkuk where he didn't understand why would God let a godless nation, a nation more cruel and wicked, come in to torture and do this to his people. That's because his people were rebels. They were covenant breakers. That's what happened with Zedekiah. Zedekiah had made a deal. We'll talk about him this weekend. I don't know if I brought that thing on Zedekiah, but he had rebelled against the king of Babylon. He had went out, Jeremiah 52 and 11, it may be there. He had made a covenant with the king of Babylon. You know, God had told him to go into the king of Babylon for them to go captive in Babylon, but they didn't want to do what they say do. Start at the 8th verse. This is what God's talking about. Jeremiah 52, the start at the 8th verse. This is what he's talking about in the prophecy of Ezekiel, the 12th chapter. And the latter part of that verse of the 12th chapter. When Ezekiel was acting this scene out, when he was digging through the walls. Of the 12th chapter. When he was digging through the walls and acting though as he was moving, this was about Zedekiah. So Ezekiel, the 12th chapter, the 12th through the 20th verse, speaks about what's happening here in Jeremiah, the 52nd chapter, in the 8th verse. He says, but the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his armor was scattered from him. Then they took the king and carried him unto the king of Babylon into Riblah in the hand of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He slew his children right there in front of him. And after he slew all the princes in Riblah, then he put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him in chains and carried him to Babylon and put him in prison till the day of his death. Why was that? Why such a harsh death? Why see his sons die before his eyes? Because he was a rebel. He had made a covenant. Go on. Look at that same chapter, the 52nd chapter, in the second verse. And he did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, till he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. He was a rebel. He rebelled against someone God had put in authority over them. He had told them to submit to the king of Babylon. But he broke that, listening at the princes of Judah and prophesying to him and saying that they will go overcome and that God hadn't said these things. And God caused this Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, to kill all of his children right in front of his face. And the last thing he would ever see was that his children being slain in front of his face, and then they took a hot iron and gouged his eyes out. And they took him to Babylon. All because he was a rebel. Ezekiel acts this out in the 12th chapter. It says, "Say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God, this burden concerning the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel that are among them. Say, I am your sign, like as I have done, so shall it be done unto them. They shall remove and go into captivity. And the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulders in the twilight and shall go forth. They shall dig through the wall to carry out through the wall thereby. He shall cover his face that he see not the ground with his eyes. My net also will spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snares, and I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, and yet he shall not see it, though he shall die there." That prophecy, that's one of the prophecies the people didn't understand. You saw in Jeremiah 52 and 11 where Zedekiah dug through the wall, him and his princes tried to flee at night. He was a rebel. God says, was it Nebuchadnezzar or God? It was God. God says, listen at that. He says, my net, verse 13 of the 12th chapter of Ezekiel, my net also I will spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, and yet he shall not see it, though he shall die there. How can you die in Mississippi? How can you die in another nation or another world and not see that? I just told you that. That he was a rebel. He tried to flee at night. Well, when he got halfway out, they caught him and took him to right outside of Israel to Riblah. And they killed his children. And then they gouged his eyes out. And then they took him to Babylon. So he died in Babylon. And he never saw Babylon because God had prophesied that he's going to die there. But he'll never see it. He went there blind. You see, when you rebel against the word of God, you put all kinds of odds against yourself. You put all things against yourself, and that's what God was saying about the house of Israel, that they were a rebellious people. God doesn't like those that rebel against authority. That's why it says obey your parents. Right? Honor your parents. See, because they're God's authority to you in that home. They say, wives, submit yourselves to your husband. That because he's supposedly in charge of that home, running the home or whatever. Because the men are not stepping up and say, as the responsible party, I have to do this. Now, she may not like it, but because it's her desire to have that rule over you. And you can acquiesce and give it to her. But God's still going to fault you. He didn't stop at Eve. He says, Adam, where are you? Because he had gave Adam that responsibility. A man doesn't let you tie his hand because ultimately you can't fault your wife. A lot of men try to blame your wife. Abraham tried to blame Sarah. Adam tried to blame. Most men would try to blame their wives for their shortcomings. And that's why the wives do what they do. Because the men don't have heart. To stand, because a man accepts his consequences of what he's done. That's why David said, Lord, I've sinned against you. It was me. I sinned against you. I did this thing. You have to accept. God says confession is good for the soul. He that covers sin shall not prosper. Don't try to push this off and put it on somebody else. You have to step up to the plate and say, I did this. I was wrong. But that rebel in you is not going to want to face those consequences. Jeremiah 11. Or did I finish that one? I think I finished it. Jeremiah 11 chapter. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed he be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you, so shall ye be my people, and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey as it is this day. Then answered I and said unto them, then the Lord said unto me, proclaim all these words in the city of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and do them. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto the day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. They went against what God says. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every man, every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They all turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers. And that's why I say, a lot of times the children have to look and see, your parents could have been wrong. Your parents could have led you wrong. That's why it says, the sins of the father. See, that could be the division in some homes if the parents not seeing God clearly. See, because there's a lot of things that I see a lot of the older religions, a lot of the older people, that they were very contradictory of themselves. And that's because none of us are perfect. But the reason God allowed you to see that is to see was you go obey him and walk in his ways and not be subject to the tradition of men. Well, my parents did this and my fathers did that. And he said, by your tradition, you caused the word of God to be of none effect. All y'all been passing down Christmas from year to year, and just because your grandma did it, that don't mean grandma was right. Just because she went and listened at the seven last words and went to the sunrise service, that means he giving you light, and you need to stand up on what God had given you in your heart that you know is right if you have faith. God giving us faith from faith to faith in the growing faith. But that's why you never grow and you're never doing anything, because you looking up to your parents or something, they not here and they didn't grow to the level that they should have grown. But you don't want to step out on faith. You don't want to be your own man. You don't want to be God's man. God say, look for a man to do these things. See, sometimes mama ain't that. You can't lean on mama. Sometimes daddy ain't going to be there. And you can't lean on daddy. You're going to have to learn to lean on Jesus. That's your leaning post. That's who you look to. Have confidence in men. Don't have confidence in people. All those things you have confidence in, God's going to take away from you. Because they're idols in your life. So God continues on to the 14th verse, what he was going to do in those cities, because they were not walking in the ways and the word of God. Colossians 3 and 8. How far are we getting here? Colossians 3, 18 through 6. We'll start at the 3rd chapter in the 18th verse and go to the 4th chapter in the 6th verse. Because like I say, if we don't have the mind of Christ, you're against Christ. and you have that rebellious heart, and you need to be able to search yourself, and without the Spirit of God, you can't do that. So we should seek after God, seek after His Spirit, so we could walk without this rebellion in our lives. And that old man, that old nature is there, and without the new nature, and without the Spirit of God to help you to put this old man to death, you remain against the things of God. Colossians 3rd chapter and 18th verse. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Notice that as it is fit in the Lord. You may have an ungodly husband. You may have a husband that's not setting the right principle. See, because you have these churches where the husband loves to jump on that scripture. See, it says submit yourself to your husband. And he just is full off, the children will get out of there. Everybody will get away from around him as soon as they can. Because God is not his head. That's why it says, as fit in the Lord. God's not going to allow that man to take you out of Christ. You remember Abigail and Nabal? Nabal was a cruel fellow. And that's why God caused him to die. That, you remember, and she got David. She got a man into her life that was going to be a man of God. You see, that's the problem sometimes when a good woman, these bad men catch hold to them, and then they pull them out of the Lord, kills her spirit to where she's not serving the Lord anymore. But they try to use that scripture, it says, be submitted to me. That's why I say, you may be hypocritical and know you preach it till they could rebel from under that authority. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now that's children. Now when you're talking about children, we're talking about 12 or 13 down. Because 14 or 15 during those days, most of the girls were married those during that time. You know, Mary probably was about 15 years old or 16 years old when she had Jesus. Joseph was an older man. But the women during that time, the mortality rate was so high among women, most of the women were married were during that time at teenage years. See, we've changed the years and the structure of time. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And that's what I mean. Some fathers don't know about parenting. And that's why he put this scripture in here. Don't provoke your children to anger. See, if you hadn't been whipped and raised and everything, you probably don't know about discipline and whipping a child or whatever. I think one of my children now, he may be understanding, he may not be understanding why. He said, well, let me beat Sherman because you ain't going to do him nothing. Because sometimes I would talk to my children. Everything your child does, don't call for to put the strap on him and beat him. A judge has to be temperate in what he's doing in issuing out punishment. So we don't want to provoke, you know, sometimes you could get your children to where they don't want to be around you. They get old enough to get out of that house, you may not see them no more. See, because you ain't going to be in charge all the time of them. It says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not without service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Not in, yes, master always right, no. You working under on that job as you working unto the Lord. You have God in mind. That's who you're working to please God. It is God that caused you to have that job. That's why we don't slack on our jobs. That's why we give a full day's work for a full day's pay. He says, and whatsoever you do, do it all heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he had done, and there is no respect of persons. In other words, whether he's wealthy or renowned or whatever, you do somebody wrong, he's going to receive for the wrong he's done. That's the confidence and the faith that we have in God. So that's why this is in the epistles, because this is to those that should be of the mind of Christ. This is not to a rebellious-minded people. And it's going to be people right in your church that's going to tell you against these scriptures like this, what would they do or whatever. And that's the old man talking. That's the kind of people you don't want to be around. that you try to avoid, because that's not a profitable conversation. There are two different minds, and there's a mind of Christ, and there's a rebellious or a spirit of this world, a God of this world. And we had walked that way formerly. We don't want to walk that way because we know the end of walking that way, and that God is against that way. You see where God puts everything in subjection here. That's what happened to the angels of sin that rebel. They kept not their first estate. They didn't stay where God had placed them. They kept not their first habitation. So a lot of women get mad and everything. Well, he just ain't the one I want, child. And he just, and some other woman that didn't talk to me. Now you didn't divorce or left your husband for some other guy doing this and doing that. You're going to be forever cursed because you dealt treacherously with your husband listening to somebody else. Okay, so it ain't the dream marriage you dreamed of. But he don't give you out to divorce your husband. He don't give you out to divorce your wife. You married her. You married him. Y'all married. That don't mean go out and commit adultery on him. That don't mean go out and do that. You're married. God, get God into the situation. You pray and talk to God, but you don't go talk to your friend. I leave him, child. I go do this and I do that. That's what's wrong with the world today. We're listening at rebellious spirits. They rebel from that relation. They rebel from that man. They rebel and go do something else. A rebellious woman is as witchcraft, so is a man.
Most people go by Moses' law. They don't read the part of God's law. But God say, you don't believe in divorce. You never intend for divorce. But see, when Moses write that paper of divorce, that's what people believe in, Moses.
Because divorce. Of the hardness of their heart. And that's why I told you there were two laws.
Yeah.
Jesus said that this was not so in the beginning. But there were two laws, because if you're hard-hearted, apparently God hadn't changed your heart. But the reason Moses gave that law, though, that's why he says the law was weak through the flesh. It would be better to give her a bill of divorcement instead of coming home, finding her and all the children dead, like this guy killed his whole family the other day. Or find she didn't stab them to death, as we read all the time. See, because like I say, if you're a rebel, you could be judged by the law of the world. You could be judged under Moses' law. You remember Jesus said, it is Moses that accused you, because like I say, the law isn't gone. The law isn't done away with. Not one jot, not tittle. So when you go to quoting all them other laws, when you come back and say, oh, but Jesus died for me. Oh, no. Jesus said, if you are my disciple, you would continue in my word. So what did Jesus say? It wasn't so in the beginning. In other words, Adam didn't divorce Eve, you know. She caused him to lose paradise. He wasn't able to divorce her. You stop. If you want to use it that way, you there, baby. Make the best of it. If a man raped a woman in the olden time, he was made to marry her and he wasn't able to divorce her. She was so good that you wanted to rape her and take her. Now you got her for the rest of your life. Whether she makes you miserable and yapping all the time or not, you stop. See, but whatever, you know, a lot of people sometimes, you want to use scripture sometimes, but now you don't want to use scripture. You want to use it to your advantage. You know, a lot of people say you quote scripture when it's convenient for you. See, but that's that rebel in us. And it says, masters, give unto your servants that which is your, which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. See, that comes in the fourth chapter, where a lot of masters would have wanted to hang on the 22nd verse of the third chapter, saying, servants, obey your masters according to the flesh. But then I read, and that first one says, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing you also have a master in heaven. In other words, that's not your job. You know, they got mad at the president when he said that you didn't build that. In other words, you had to have somebody help you get that. We all in this together. Government built that road and this. See, but we always want to say we pull ourselves up by our own bootstrap. That's an oxymoron. See, but whatever you have, God's to give up all those gifts. Every good gift that comes from God had given us whatever we have. That's why until you get in the church, until you learn about God, you won't succeed financially, because a good person knows that they go give God his tithes and offerings. Because why? God is the one that gave you that 100%. Now, if you go give him what's his out of there. See, but a lot of people say, I don't have it to give to God. Oh, you don't have to give to God. Do you know God gave you that, what he had? That's what he was trying to get over to Pilate. Say, he told Pilate, you wouldn't have no power if God hadn't given it to you. See, Jesus has all power, so whatever we have, he had given us to that, given us that, and we short him on that which he had given us. And like Adam and Eve that rebelled against what he said. He said, you could have of all these trees you may freely eat of. But they chose a tree that had a penalty for. It was a penalty from eating from that tree. That's a rebellion. You disobeyed what I say do. Of all this stuff I hear, you had to go get the one I say don't. Continuing prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. With them, prayer, with all prayer also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak this mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. In other words, you have to walk wisely among the rebels also, wisely among the world. He who winneth souls is wise. And our job, our commission is to go forth and make disciples. We're to teach God's word. We're to win souls. We're to be fruitful in the world. We're not out there trying to condemn the world. The world is already condemned. We're not out here to be abusive and offensive. We're out here to walk circumspectively and get God's word out. It says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. See, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. There's a way to answer a person. And we have to learn those things from the word of God to be of that mind and of that spiritual attitude. We have to have that mind being renewed and regenerated. Else this rebellious mind, this irreverence will take over, and people will see that individual coming. So, God works all things for good for those that love the Lord, but it's not all good, because it's going to be bad for a whole lot of people, and it's going to really be bad for the rebels. It may seem good to them now, but there's a payday coming, and the wages of sin is death. To rebel against God is death. To rebel against God is actual punishment. We'll see that further come Saturday, but we have to not